and they are still lying and believing and promoting the lie and still asking that that quote human right unquote be granted to them to enjoy sin more and more. Such a bloody, ugly, nasty, sinful race is human race. And that's exactly my picture. I'm not an angel. I'm one of the human race. When I know that, that helps me to truly repent. So the way we appear and the way we differ from the world is important. If we truly repented, if we believed that true repentance that John proclaimed, then we have his example. Our garments are to cover, not to expose. Our food is to feed, not to satisfy lusting. Our purpose is not to blend with the world, but to be different, to stand out. I think Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh to preach repentance. You know why? He was not sufficiently different than them. He was not different sufficiently to tell them, repent. Why did Lot's sons-in-law not believe him? Because he was like them. He was not different. And his message was like somebody telling jokes. He was not serious. Jonah was very blessed. The Lord helped him to be different. When he passed through that sea monster, he was a different man. And when he went to preach to Ninevites, they believed. Why? Because he was different, not because he was like them. Look, who is going to believe one of our rulers? They're just as sinful as the rest of the people. And they lie, and the people enjoy those lies. Well, John was different. His message was different. His example was different. Altogether, he was a different man. Then went out to him Jerusalem and Judea, and all the region round about Jordan. And they were baptized in Jordan, confessing their sins. I just cannot pass by this point without mentioning at least something. If John sprinkled all the people, he really did not need more than a barrel of water. He did not need the river Jordan. You know, even if he was pouring, he would not need a river. So it must be something different than all the poor excuses of the religious people. Baptism was indicating something so fundamental, such a change, such difference, that a river of water was supplied for John's baptism. There was some significance in that. But there is something greater, I think, than the amount of water, than the mode, so-called, of baptism, confessing their sins. If anyone wants to be baptized, just to be baptized, that person is adding to his or her sins. It's a mockery. Confessing our sins, realizing that just for one tiny microscopic fraction of my sinfulness, I deserve hell forever, let alone for all of my sinfulness. And so, many people are coming, and many of them come with a broken heart, and the leaders of the religious groups see that they are apparently losing their constituents. They're losing their influence, they're losing their income, they're losing the benefits that they somehow managed to grab up for themselves through the ignorance of people. And they see so many people are going to the river Jordan, to John to be baptized. Oh well, we will go also. Why not? Just let them see that we are not less righteous than they. So they come to John. And of course, if John is as charismatic as supposedly some preachers should be, or if he is desiring that as many people as possible turn to the Lord, then he is going to be very honored and even thrilled with the appearance of the leaders. And those that have education, those that have some religious title, No, no, no. John is different. John came in the spirit of true repentance. And when he saw them, he said, "Oh, generation of vipers, look at that. Look who is coming. The people that want to sin even in pretense of baptism. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? What happened to your fruits? What is in your heart, in your mind? Are you changed, really? Or you think you are good enough already?" And there are two things that stand, or more, but let's say few things that stand in the way of true repentance. Or the few symptoms that indicate false repentance. A cancerous repentance. Repentance that makes man even more godless than before. And that is fruitlessness. You see. Words. Words and words again, but no deeds. And then, thinking. Thinking of my worthiness. Either my family is something special, either my nation is something special, or my city is something special, or somehow there is something that makes me better than... Look at that sinner there. He must be very sinful. Think not within yourselves. We have Abraham to our father. What do you mean by that? Just because you are degenerated seed of Abraham and not the seed of faith, that God has some obligation toward you? Not at all. Not at all. Don't say to yourself that you are children of Abraham. What did the Lord say to the Hebrews, to the Jews? If you were children of Abraham, you would have believed me. You would have rejoiced in my coming. You would have loved me. Abraham didn't do any of your deeds. So, there is another thing that is in the way of true repentance. Lack of fear. Not fearing the judgment of God. Not realizing that the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. It's just a matter of time. Anytime. I don't know when. Tomorrow. This day. God can make an end of my earthly journey. And you know what? I will appear before God just as I am. There will not be time later. There is no such a thing like later time. We have only this time now. The axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit. Not every tree which will not bring good fruit someday later. Not a tree that has brought some good fruit way in the past. No. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit now is hewn down. This moment, if I'm not bringing this good fruit, I am done. I am not with the Lord. And there is nothing in between. It's either kingdom of heaven or hell. And then he says, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You see what Satan tried to do? To postpone repentance and to prolong sinfulness. You don't have to do it right now. Oh, look, you're not that old. You are in fairly good health. What about accidents? Oh, your car is good and you drive carefully, don't you? After all, the accidents are only a tiny percentage. So many people die every day. Well, yes, but that's still a tiny percentage. Do you feel that you are dying? No. So can't you enjoy this? Oh, if you really repent, what are your parents going to say? What about your associates? Does it have to be so much? You know, all that tricky way of talking, that treacherous, deceptive way of talking, if thou be the Son of God, say this or that, or do that, this or that, you know. It's not sure that you will die. And look at that fruit, it's so beautiful. All that, don't we recognize that though? Don't we see that there is only one answer to the calling of God? Only one answer. When John the Baptist, the Spirit of God, is crying in the wilderness of this world, repent, There is only one answer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He told them what is coming afterward. And through that, true repentance and proper confession and baptism of the heart and mind, soul and body, the Lord Jesus is coming and giving us true example how to live a godly life. You know, if we are not born again, we cannot see. We cannot see the kingdom. We cannot see His word. We don't see anything. The blind people could not see the Lord Jesus. But they could believe. They believed that He can do it. And they cried. And He did hear. Why did they cry? When they said it first time, without crying, apparently He did not hear. They cried louder. He does not react. And they cry louder, and they cry as much voice as they have. And the other people say, be quiet, you are so noisy. And they keep crying more and more. And the Lord did hear. You know, He did hear when they whispered first time. But He let them cry so that they can hear their need, that they can realize. When Abraham offered the sacrifice on Mount Moriah, the angel said, for now I know that thou art faithful. God knows Abraham way before that. But what God said, now I know that you know. After this, Abraham is not going to give his faith for any lesser value, because he already gave all that he had, all of his hope, all of his love, all of his expectations, all of that was in Isaac. And he offered that. He knows that if God takes it, He will make it greater and better. God is able from the ashes to raise Isaac. And that's how Isaac appeared after that sacrifice to Abraham. You know what? Abraham loved him more than ever before and rejoiced in him more than ever before. And all the good relationship blossomed more than ever before because they were one in the Lord. And that true repentance makes us one in the Lord and one with one another. And that's the blessing that nothing in this world can buy or outweigh or not even come close to its value, to its preciousness.